So the theory is mm-hmm. take standardized designs for components, not modular, but components of construction, and just standardize those and put them together like a Lego.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Off-site construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, SBL Tribe, we got a gem for you today. I've been talking about it, and I went to work and got the head of construction coming into SBL. Mike Rock is going to come in and tell us what Katerra is all about. So I'm so jazzed. I've been reading all about this company and so pumped to hear a story and be part of their awesome conversation and movement.
The greatest thing about these guys or Katerra is the technology behind construction and how it's evolving and progressing in different areas of the business itself. So we're looking forward to speaking with him. It should be a good one.
All right, let's dive in and talk with a technology company which lives in the middle of the System Build Lifestyle. What's your favorite beverage?
Coors Light.
Coors Light, man. Oh, a man from the Rockies. All right.
There it is.
I love it.
Born and raised in Colorado, man.
Awesome. You're cool. Where are you living today?
Gilbert, Arizona.
Living in Gilbert, Arizona.
Still
from
a
Colorado.
Fan too.
All right. Yeah. It'll be an interesting draft here when this goes live. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of moving parts to that for sure.
Yeah.
So tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Would that be for work or for family pleasure? Because work has taken me to Italy and Spain and other places.
Oh, well, that's
pretty
horrible.
Neat. Not all with Katerra, but so it's been with work. And personally, I think Seaside, Oregon is just – that's like our family spot.
Really?
All the memories that go there, you know, playing Frisbee on the beach, inventing games, things like that. It's just it's a great place. And if you've never been there – beaches go on forever. They're so flat. I mean, you can run and run and run. It's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Beach time is always great time.
There you go. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena?
So my username on some accounts is called Learn By Doing because I don't sit well. I like to do a lot of things. So I work on cars, restore cars, trucks. Right now I'm doing a D100, 1971 D100.
Oh, cool.
I make jewelry. I work with metal, with wood. And have 5 horses at the house, so we're always doing something with the horses too. So I do a lot of things outside of work for sure.
Cool. Well, we got to know a little bit about Mike Rock, who's the head of construction for Katerra. And Tribe, if you've been listening to the Art of Construction, our sister station, or SBL, boy, am I passionate about having Mike Rock travel here to be with us today, because as a disruptor in this industry, I've been talking a ton about it, and I'm so honored to say we have Mike Rock and his team here into Studio SBL today. And if you haven't listened or heard about the new Henry Ford of construction, let's dive in, and I'm going to talk to you about Katerra a little bit. So first, if you go to their homepage, you're going to see the first thing that it says is Katerra is a technology company. We are optimizing every aspect of development, design, and construction to transform the way buildings and spaces come to life. Their vision will tell you Katerra is bringing the technology, design, and supply chain innovations that revolutionize Silicon Valley to the world of architecture and construction. So there you get a taste of what we're going to talk about with Katerra today. And this is exciting stuff, and the only constant is change. But in the construction industry, a lot of things have been a little bit stagnant, and I'm super stoked about where we're going with Katerra here. So let's get to know a little bit about Mike. So his bio, Mike is an entrepreneur and thought leader and forever focused on opportunities for improvement in the construction delivery process. Mike believes that the great gains in the component manufacturing and standardization of designs for like systems once adopted create revolutionary change that will close the gap on the need for essential housing and bring back the American dream. Not to mention solve a problem that has escaped the industry for years, an overall reduction in construction costs. So prior to joining Katerra, Mike has held leadership roles for Kitcho Contractors, based in Phoenix, Arizona, and Bernard's Brothers, based in San Fernando, California. Mike's experience includes commercial, residential, and land development, as well as a variety of market sectors in a variety of states. So here you're on the platform, Mike. The mic is yours to tell us about what you do with Katerra and what Katerra is all about.
So at Katerra, I'm the head of construction. Our team is about 300 now, and we have about 1,500 plus in the company. So when we are a technology company, not a construction company, it's just that. Our construction makes up the end delivery. It's what's very visible. It's what happens. But there's a whole team of people behind us that are creating this system in a different way that are primarily from their industry. We didn't try to move construction people into different industries. We adopted their industries for how can we fix that in construction. So technology is a very heavy influence on what we have. Manufacturing, supply chain management, those people are all largely from high tech or other industries that have really done this very well. So it's a new way of thinking, a new thought process to it. And in the end, it really manifests itself on the job site. And that's what I control is the job site.
Awesome. So I want to start by telling a story. We love bringing stories in. As before we got on air, it really resonated for me because I was honored when the other day one of our interns from CU Boulder, Nate, shout out to you, he and Greg Hernandez, they had a meeting. So he finished his internship, and we do a 6 months internship at my day-to-day company, Mountain View Window and Door. And then at the exit interview, it went around and around, and Nate goes, you know, this is just such a cool, fun company. I think I want to stay on through school and be a trusted advisor. And we call our sales reps trusted advisors. And it was just such a proud moment for us in the world of construction. There's so many people that are saying, how do I get more people into the industry? And it's been so fun being a voice through this megaphone to say, we got to get new blood into this industry and be training and work smarter, not harder. So, Mike, tell us a story about your son on part of the reason why you're here on the podcast today.
Yeah, so my son's 25, and we just were talking about different things, and he mentions all the time, hey, Dad, did you hear this podcast? Did you listen to this podcast? So there is a whole bunch of things about podcasts. And also talked to some people inside Katerra that their primary, that's where they get their information is a podcast, and they listen on the way home or they're walking home, jogging or whatever. And so the way I see it is to reach people, you have to have a written word, you have to have something in sound, and you have to have something visually. And so podcast to me is a way that you can get the message out, and it doesn't consume time. It actually is like a dual time use, right? So you're driving and listening to this. So that was the idea, to do a podcast so it could reach more people. And actually, we could talk about the technology we're doing and how it's different. It's not the same apprenticeship program, if you will. It's just this is construction, but it's not the same mystique of construction driving by on the road and just seeing something being built, because we're doing something quite different.
You know, the interesting thing about this whole conversation, having Katerra here, in reality, this is really a system build platform, right? We're trying to engage different ways to increase construction and change it. The interesting thing about when we were talking with Mike prior, he had a really great way of making us understand what Katerra really is. Could you kind of give us that influence again about Henry Ford and how that really kind of resonated with me, and it really showed the relationship of how you're designing this whole technology-driven company?
Sure. So in some of our presentations, we show how industries have changed, right? So we'll show telephone industry with people used to push the wires, and now it's these big mainframes and things like that. We show auto industry that was literally six or eight guys in a room building a car, and now it's all fully robotic. And that's exactly what we're kind of thinking about, is the Henry Ford of it. So what used to be done in one area by a few people can now be spread and actually have expertise in a lot of different areas. And so that's how I kind of see Katerra's, what we're doing, is we're, instead of the heavy man load on job sites that are there right now, where all the problems get solved on that job site, is those should be solved upstream. And I think anyone who's built knows that RFIs and change orders, they're
so much fun to deal with.
No, they're not. if we could find a way to automate that out of the system, and so you could actually build, because that's what you want to do,
yes,
that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're trying to get to. I went to Boulder, too, myself. I was going to be an architectural engineer, and I took a summer internship with the AGC the semester before I graduated. So I'd framed houses and stuff when I was a kid, but I actually worked for a general contractor for that summer before I graduated. At the end of that summer, I ended up it was in the 80s in Denver, and that company went to Detroit and left me to finish two projects, and I was an intern. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. So I got my degree. I never went on to be a PE, but I thought I was going to build.
Yeah.
And then I go to larger projects, and I'm administering everything. I'm not building. I'm doing RFIs and change orders and expediting and all those things that were just what was happening at the time. So it was like, is that what I signed up for? Mm-hmm. But now what we're trying to do is, you get to do what you signed up for.
Right.
You get to build cool stuff on a site, right?
Yeah, you get to be creative.
That's so cool.
All under one roof.
So the when it comes to materials, before we got on air, you gave us the example of a faucet, for example, about how a faucet is currently done to where to help change those RFIs. Can you walk us through that example of an iPhone to a faucet?
Sure. So I've learned a lot here because mm-hmm. of all the technology people. And one thing I didn't know, but I learned from Michael Marks the first meeting, was in an iPhone, every piece is tracked to its origin. So any iPhone at any time, you can find out exactly who worked on it, where the sand came from, if that's the case, where the copper came from, where the solder came from. You know everything about that iPhone. And he said, I want to do that for construction. And so what that means, you have to have a platform to do that. So for the example of a faucet is the designer, and this could be our designers or third party, actually picks out of our catalog a faucet and they place it in the Revit file, right, that they're doing. That faucet is never seen again until it shows up on the job site. It's never even referenced again because what the system itself actually creates the demand for that faucet from the manufacturer wherever that happens to be built. That demand is aggregated with all of the other demands for the various architects around the country or in Katerra actually picking that same faucet. So the purchase of that faucet is made by aggregating all of them at the same time together. And then it's shipped over to a distribution center in the United States. And then in our process, it's kitted and it's delivered to the project site when needed. So you don't have RFIs. You have a database to pull all your cut sheets and do all that you need to do. But you don't have RFIs. You don't have submittals that you send in because that's done ahead of time. That's a faucet that we actually supply. That's not an as-is alternate. That is the faucet you picked. Mm-hmm. And so it takes all the administration of that off of the project team, which normally you really have to staff your team to manage that.
Awesome. So let's go all the way back to the beginning and tell us, how did the name Katerra come about and the founders, like how did this come to fruition?
Well, I've talked to the person that came up with Katerra, and it was really the five or six key people that founded the company have made a lot of companies in their lifetime, and they arrived at Katerra, and it wasn't a definition. It's to be defined, and they just liked the sound of that Katerra, and that's how it came up. I wasn't there at the time, right?
It's catchy.
That's the lore. But how it came about was the founders didn't understand that in the construction industry that the materials were not aggregated because one of the founders is a developer. And when he explained that each project is bought separately and in large cases it's bought by the subcontractor separately, that that was foreign to them as in the tech industry. In the tech industry, you aggregate all of your buys so you can get lower priced materials to do that. And so it's a very simple concept really, is let's aggregate all the construction materials. But the challenge with just that is it really disrupts the industry to try to rip those apart for risk factors and warranty factors and all that. And it's very difficult to manage if you don't do it right. So that's why we bring in material people to do this. And we actually have sourcing people. We have all these people that know exactly how to do this. And then we just have to change how we think at the job site to actually trust that all that will be there right when it needs to be there, rather than typical construction is you want to control it to be right. We actually have to trust it to be right. So that's kind of how it all transpired. It was really based on the first idea was material supply. But as the founders got more in tune with the developer on what construction is really like, every project is designed uniquely. Every wall, I'm looking at a wall right now, and I would bet there's 2 million of these walls in Denver. Every one of these walls was designed one time by one architect.
Absolutely.
So the theory is mm-hmm. it takes standardized designs for components, not modular, but components of construction, and just standardize those and put them together like a Lego, like a kit. So they can look like anything. They can be lengths. They can be heights and widths. So it's not putting anyone into a box. It's actually just make that a product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been fascinated by the technology ever since I've been in this industry, that I've said it so many different times, that it's either to construction, you know, we've always done it this way, or to corporate, what's your lowest price? And I love social media. I love all the technology, and I've seen so many different things come and go that make so much sense. But when Kantera came out, I got to give credit where credit is due, is I was fascinated by following your company, and that's from your amazing marketing and digital social media team. So Chelsea Weber is who the person I reached out to and engaged with them and, you know, told my story, and which is what led us here today. And Tribe, that's important stuff, like how relationships and how things come together today. You're sitting with us face-to-face, you know, because I reached out through the technology platform. And there's something to be said about that. And that's the opposite of the old school way of how construction was done. So we definitely have to work smarter, not harder. So we got the, we zoomed out, and now I want to zoom in. As the head of construction for Kantera, walk us through one really cool project, kind of A to Z, how that works. Because correct me if I'm wrong, you have a plant in Phoenix as well. You're not a modular company, you're a systems company here on System Build Lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm. The best projects where we're the most effective is when we talk to the developers, clients, at the onset, at the very, very beginning. Because there's a set of rules that is called DFX, right? DFX is designed for manufacturing, or it's designed for maintenance, or and some of these things I've learned. So don't – this is just in the last
I'm really impressed by his knowledge base.
But DFX is throughout our company. So what are we designing for, right? Yes, for construction, most certainly, but we also have to design for manufacturing. We also have to design for the engineering team to do those things. So if you really look at it like a pull schedule, you go backwards instead of forwards, then you really find out what's the highest and best value. It's starting the very, very beginning and allow this system to work. And right now we're multifamily primarily, and we can modify units to be with any client. So it's not like we put them in a box. We say, here's some rule sets that we want to have, right? And the rule sets are more around stacking of projects, and you know, like how utilities are stacked and things like that, or how windows are in walls so that they provide the right amount of opening, but they also maximize the amount of glass used, because we find out everything has waste to it. Every window you buy of a standard size actually has a like 14% waste, because the glass isn't manufactured in that size. They have to cut it down, so there's a bunch of waste. We're seek to find those areas and not let the waste happen. So that's the ideal project, is when it comes from the very, very early. But they're not always like that, right? Nothing's ideal in this world, so you take them at any time.
So you're constantly progressing. You're constantly seeing how things fit. You're constantly analyzing. You're constantly updating your technology to be able to offer these products.
And our knowledge.
Yeah, and your knowledge.
Yeah, what I tell people is we pick up a rock and find an ant pile. It's like what we thought it was going to be isn't what it turned out to be. And so a lot of these nuances of how the industry is that we just come to accept, when you add new thinking to it, technology, manufacturing, and others, then it's like, wow, this is quite different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, lifting straps for a panel, and a simple thing like that is, you see in the field that a lot of people do that in the field. They get panels it's not unique, right?
Right,
a lot of people
correct.
See panels. And the framer straps them up and goes on his way. We put the straps on in the factory. That's 10 minutes of panel savings. It's like, really? Wow. We have to get the strapping, we have to get the engineering done, and we have to get that done in the factory so it's in the right place. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to think very, very early. Like this whole thing about Henry Ford is move the knowledge base to a different spot. And so we're thinking very, very early about all the details. And then as it goes through, you know, we have a permitted set of drawings, just like we do with any city. It looks a lot like that. But we take it from there, and it's as if we're building a hospital. We're down to BIM 400. And that's so what our computer-aided design can talk to our computer-aided manufacturing. And the benefit of all that is then eventual automation, because you write rule sets around how you design, how you do these things. And it starts to then become a momentum shift that what the first products take longer than – not longer than the market, but longer in effort to get this done. And then you start our rinse and repeat. You start to have a model that continues upon itself.
And so walk us through the plant – your plants in Phoenix where you're making the component systems,
our
right?
First one's in Phoenix. Yep. So it right now it does wall panels, floor panels, roof trusses, floor trusses, cabinets, countertops, and soon to be windows.
You're going to manufacture the windows?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. And are you planning on additional plants other places? Or because as I've been going to school for system build living is that, you know, it's expensive to move stuff and so on and so forth.
So,
you know, we had some cool guys, Lance and Alex, on, and we did Jeopardy. And when one of the questions was, is, well, you know, how do you move stuff on trucks and this kind of thing? So my assumption is, if you guys are looking at this from a systems approach and wanting to be in all 50 states, you're probably looking at strategic solutions throughout for the logistics of things, correct?
Right. Think about manufacturing, production, and construction consumption, right? Those two have to model up together. And so if you have a plant, you want to use it to its full capacity, or else it's a lost resource. Mm-hmm. Typically, you know, it's the 500 mile radius, I think, is what is industry known.
Yep.
But we're actually putting more into the wall panel itself, so it extends the radius, because the drywall is now free to ship, as an example. Rough-in is free to ship because it doesn't go to the job site anymore. It goes to the factory, central distribution. So yes, there will be more plants. Matt Ryan is our head of the manufacturing team, and he's watching consumption, watching production, and watching where these projects are happening in the nation, and he's choosing the places to be. And so there will be likely four to five, depending, but that's not set yet. But yeah, there's additional plants that literally we're looking now for the next location, more on the West Coast.
You know, the thing that I really love about this business is they seem to find the cream of the crop with people that want to work for this organization, and really using, or not using, but getting advice and their professionalism in the industry that they already contain, you know, what they already do, and being able to have a collaborative group. Do you typically have, like, is it where you have meetings and everybody collaborates on a project, or does everybody have their own single focus and it kind of all ends up in one area? I'm just curious, on the business platform of this, how you guys all exchange and how it all works.
We exchange all the time. It's not a formal organization where you have to be at this call at this time,
mm-hmm.
and work on those kind of things. Michael does things as they need to happen and does not like unnecessary bureaucracy, right?
That's great.
So the expectation is that if you need to talk to anyone in the company, you pick up the phone, you talk to anyone in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we run the company. So yeah, so the leadership team gets together fairly often. We have mostly, we're on video calls and things like that. And again,
because you're technology driven.
Yeah, what's very different about this company, and I said again, I'm learning these things, is most of the leadership has been global. And so they've learned how to work
from there. How do you do all those languages and everything?
We have people that speak those languages. So we have an office of 80 people in Pune.
Amazing.
India, right? So,
amazing.
And we fly people from the States over to Pune, and because the vernaculars are different there,
sure,
as you'd expect, and things like that. But we've all learned how to work in a different way. It's not like the corporate world where we have no walls in our office, literally. It's just, it's very techie. And you're expected to kind of be on and to solve the problems as you need to solve them. So the most hot problems are known by everybody, and we're all working on them, and we all agree that we'll get those done. And then there's the measurement and metrics, again, from out of our industry, is heavy on KPIs, which are key performance indicators. But everyone has them. Everyone takes them to the level
next
of detail
level
that's really down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also ISO certified, you know. So it's all that rigor is in the system, because this is natural for all these guys.
That's
we're
so
learning
cool.
it, but for them it's natural.
Yeah. In the construction arena that I like to call the art of construction, that kind of stuff is not standard practice. But
not at
Silicon
all.
Valley kind of companies, this is pretty standard stuff. And that's what, when I saw this and I said, they have the funds and it's in Silicon Valley, this is the one that's going to make change, because there's a lot of these amazing engineers and so many ideas out there, but it's hard to put all this stuff together. It has not been easy to build the number one podcast on iTunes for contractors and architects, starting by myself. And it was slow going to get it going. But then when I started putting myself out there, building a team, and then the snowball starts going, that it takes a long time to make those change, right? I'm assuming you said earlier you're employee number 30 with
31.
31.
Yep.
You've probably seen a lot of rapid change that in construction in the past maybe been a little bit different.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of my peers, Trevor, today, and we're talking about our growth plan and where we need to go. And we talked to other contractors too, by the way. So it's not like we're not friendly. We
right.
talk through
you're
it.
You're constantly engaging.
Oh,
which is great.
All the time.
Yeah.
And we're talking about people in the industry as far as workers and supervisors and things like that. And the discussion was a bit around, you know, we can only do so much because there's just not that many great people available anymore. The great people are taken. And I explained this to him, and we'll see, you know, if you like this or not, but it's there's a mentality of, are you coming from a point of lack or a point of action, right?
Totally.
And so this company was founded on, this is all possible, let's go do it.
I love it.
So it's not founded on that, you know, drive to this margin and protect that risk and make sure the contracts are all that we do, all of those things, but that's not the primary focus.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
The primary focus is to make this change, we have to do it. We have to actually go do it.
Cool.
So find a way. And so we have a really good team that's doing that for us, and we're going to find a way to do it. And so far, we have a readiness, you know, plan that we do on, as we're taking on new projects. We have 19 under construction right now. And again, I was hired in late 15. So
that's
this
awesome.
Is quick.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that works. It's just the mentality is different, that we also have a lot of really smart people that can appreciate construction the way we look at it. So we don't necessarily have to have, you know, the construction people per se, because so much of our company is not construction.
Yeah.
Just the end delivery. And if we take all the burden off the team, it makes it.
It's a different focus completely, yeah. Right? It's a whole different focus of how you're designing things. And that's what's so engaging about this whole properties of what you're doing at Katerra. It's engaging because, like you said, we're all in construction. Construction is crusty and it's the same old system and it's the same old way it's always done. And there's change orders and you're always managing teams and, you know, it's always, you're putting out fires, all those things. So it's nice to see that you can see those fires. You've already experienced it. You know how to adapt to it. You know how to create it and make it bigger. And I think that's truly what's being done right now, which is really exciting because I can't think of any other company that's doing something like this and fixing and making these things into benefits for individuals and getting things done quicker. So you're in 8 regions, or that's where you guys are achieving to go to, 8
no,
regions?
No, we have separated the country into 8 regions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are licensed in 32 states, correct?
Yes.
All right. And right now you have 19 projects. Are all 19 projects, they're all multifamily, or are you going into other areas?
We have a little bit of single family going on and
oh, interesting.
A little bit of office, but mostly multifamily.
Okay.
So it's I'm so fascinated and energized hearing you talk about systems. And we, on our sister station, The Art of Construction, just released our 100th episode, which is a pretty big feat to be at 3.5 years just taking massive action and always be marketing and just constantly. And at the end of the day, when I really, you know, get into people's, you know, talk to them, get in their mind, hit them in the heart, and get into their soul, it's the people that really have systems and structure that are having a lot of fun in our industry. So tell us a kind of, you know, from you coming in with Katerra and kind of your systems and all about that.
Okay, let me say one thing though real quick, because there's something that I want to make sure is really clear. Is there's great contractors out there, and they're doing really innovative things.
And our market in Colorado
totally.
Is just
yeah.
blowing up. It's just craziness, right?
Right. And there are people that are in, you know, in micro areas doing a lot to advance construction. But what we've found, and we've toured many, many, and I would imagine if people listen to this call from construction, we've talked to them and I've sat with them about mm-hmm. some things, is there's a lot of great things happening, but they're happening in little pockets.
Sure.
And there's actually a lot of advancements being made, but no one's an early adopter. No one wants to take the chance on this kind of stuff. And so what we've done is, yes, we have our systems that we've put together, but we have listened very well. We've educated ourselves on what's
totally.
Out there and also what they're doing in Europe, which is far advanced to what we're doing
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And so because of the makeup of the company, I don't want to say we're not unique in a sense, but we're not inventing something. We're really taking the best of the best, and then we're trying to stitch it together in a way that no one's done it before.
Well,
so really make it work, because there's some great things happening with either the companies I work for included are doing some fantastic things, kind of even in this arena.
Yeah. Give us 3 things that of all these, you know, you've done so much listening and meeting with so many cool people. What are 3 pockets of things that come to mind that you're putting into what Katerra is helping this Art of Construction and System Build Lifestyle come together?
So I would say manufacturing is something that I've always had an appreciation for. Why couldn't construction be more like manufacturing? But for all the rules that we know, they aren't, because they don't have to do it at a different site every time. They don't have to have different people every time. We've got weather to deal with on the site and all that kind of stuff. But if you look at the manufacturing itself, and when you have someone that knows what to do in the manufacturing, It is really, really interesting. So there's a gentleman that still with the company, you know, a long time ago, but we were talking, and I'm like, explain to me manufacturing. He says, give me anything to build, and I will cut the time in half in 6 months.
And right there, I mean, he would just say that as a statement. That's craziness, yeah. Right?
And it's like, how do you do that? He says, mm-hmm. That's what we do in manufacturing. And and Matt has done that. Our factory is 10x what it was when he took it over. It is absolutely amazing. So that's the kind of thing that I'm just.
And I totally with you on that. We do 3 trips a year to Anderson Windows and to Western Window Systems, where we take contractors and architects to the manufacturing. And it's been unbelievable. Now we've been doing this for 4 years and taking over 100 people on these trips, and how much we all are engineer minds, and we meet with these people in the manufacturing, how many amazing systems we bring back to our day-to-day from just like how we deliver windows, how we store them, how we install them, from seeing in a manufacturing, you know, Kaizen, Lean, all those things that you learn when you get into manufacturing world that when you're out on the job site, you know, you don't think that way. So that's that's awesome. So what's another one?
Technology.
Yeah.
Technology, if you would have asked me 3 years.
I think especially for you, right?
Yeah.
Being this construction guy, that's all you've done. You've elevated your career in different aspects. And now all of a sudden, it's all the technology and the pre-preparation and the figuring out to really design something, which is outstanding.
Exactly.
In a marketplace that's so sometimes so old-looking, you know? When you talk about it,
yeah. If you think technology, at least I'll just for myself. I think oh, that's IT.
Right.
They're completely different. It's actually completely different, uh-huh. Right? And just the way that people think in technology and what I mean.
The conversations.
Yeah. So we have we build our own light fixtures, right? And so our designers in that light fixture world are forever actually improving every circuit in that fixture and getting it down by fractions of a cent, like literally iterating that over and over. And that's it's a way of looking at technology, is having the system work for you and then managing in a way you can actually prove it forward and then make improvements upon that. And so that the technology piece has been a real exposure on that. And just to see how that whole mindset is different. That's where I said this wall is a product. That came from technology. In their mind, and that's the beauty of this, is it's not a construction mind. In their mind, that's a product. Now we can write all the rules around it. We can know everything about it, and we can improve upon it because it's no longer a wall on a project to them. It's a product. And then the building can come product and things like that. So technology would be the second one that if you really put your mind to it, it isn't what it's perceived, at least from my standpoint. In my career, it was not what I perceived it to be. It's much, much bigger than that.
So do you have like a whole bunch of designers that have different specific products in your home that they continually are, I guess, innovating and things like that? And do you get to talk to them about it? Or is it just a whole different division? I mean, I think that's so fascinating just from the light fixture. You know, like, are you trying to create door systems, or are you trying to create plumbing systems or those types of things at that same level? Is that always ever changing?
Yes, 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 and yes. Everything is changing, and even some of the ideas that are come from the from our superintendents on the job site.
Yes,
literally old school, 65-year-old superintendents that love what we're doing. By the way, they've always wanted to participate in something like this. Is they have fed back inventions to this technology team. That's where this new product comes from.
Very nice.
They've fed back inventions there that we're actually pursuing on some of these things.
That's awesome.
So it's just an ability to actually take that to the end to see if it works.
Yeah.
And we don't try to judge if it works or not at the beginning. We actually take it to the end, measure it, and see if it made an improvement or not.
Yeah. And I just got to say, I'm so proud sitting here because I've been in this industry for 15 years, right out of college is all I've ever done. And at 37 years old, like, it's listening. And for you to say my son in the podcast, for me to be in the voice for this, to be in the middle of all this stuff, is just so cool. Like, and I think that's what, you know, the millennials are so sharp and so smart with the technology. And then you said the 65-year-old, they're so smart and they've lived it.
Right.
We're here packaging these amazing, you know, theories and concepts and technology together through one medium of voice, which is one way to get the message out, to make have more fun, right?
Sure.
So we got, I put you on the spot for 3, man. We got manufacturing, technology, and
it's got to be materials. So the supply chain is, again, expediting log. You know, my first project was my job on a project site. just the supply chain world is a completely different mindset when you operate it from a standpoint that you're a global supply company. And including from in materials, there's procurement and there's materials, which is specifications, and there's sourcing. And I mean, there's all these subsets. And so when you say, have you, you know, source of materials, yes, that doesn't mean you actually bought them, right? So some of these language things, that just means we know where we're going to buy them, our source is set.
Yes.
And that works. But with, again, with the people who worked in this company, is they're all global. So we want to be a material supply company. We do want to aggregate and have everyone take the benefit of all the materials we aggregate. So just know that. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we have general contractors right now buying materials from us because they've seen, been to our factory, seen what we're doing, and they want the parts and pieces from us, and we can do that. And so just the mindset of how to not be shackled with construction mindsets. This is really just how do we drive the cost of construction down so people can afford in a place to live.
So bringing that point up, which is really fascinating, coming from the modular world, right, and the system builds of actually factories and stuff that Modular Source Site is a siteware company, but we're developing Connect Home Builders on a local front, and I'm meeting with different factories, so it'd be interesting to engage that conversation where maybe that's another way of opening an area for them to be purchasing and those types of things, which is great. I mean, you're collaborating on so many different fronts. I mean, you're working with the contractor, you're developing your whole team, but then you also have another outlet for people to purchase product from you, which again, awesome.
Right.
Yeah, and my philosophy, Tribe, as I'm always talking about on all the podcasts, is the go-giver philosophies. And you say materials and procurement, like you have to look at this as a team and a partnership approach because the only constant is change. Day to day, I own a window and door company. Well, we don't manufacture anything, but we are facilitating those components. It may be different as our partnerships move forward, but you got to be pushing forward. You can't bury your head in the sand. And that's what's really cool about a company like Katerra, that, man, the founders, when you look at Michael and the team of when they went for this, I'm just so stoked for you guys.
I don't think they slept for 3 years. How does your brain even have the capacity
to go for that? Man, kudos. And we're raving fans behind that. And that's what I want all of to listen and be the voice for that, to say, let's all come together and have more fun and build better projects instead of just...
And connectability, right? I think that's nice that the company is growing and they're constantly evolving, but they're also listening to people that are on the sites, talking to those individuals, talking to general contractors, offering another service to them as well. So there, again, you're still connecting the industry of construction.
And when I read the national news that you guys are getting so much publicity out there right now about all the funding coming in, how is the conversation internally about that when you guys have been just flooded with people saying, we believe in you, Katerra, and now there's cash in the bank? And that's pretty important, right? When I say the first three rules of running a business is never run out of cash, never run out of cash, never run out of cash. So what's your take on that when you guys have so much venture capitalists and people behind you?
We're not preoccupied at all with that. I mean, our goal would be to not use it, right? It would mm-hmm. be to... Because we also have a renovation business, and some we could talk bigger, Katerra. Probably the website's best to see how those things work. But yeah. It's not a shift in thinking. It's again, the team running this are at the likes of Silicon Valley, and so they know what it takes to get this done. So really, we're growing very quickly. We're in manufacturing and other places, and that takes capital. And we have offices in Pune and in Menlo and Phoenix and Atlanta and. You know, so all that takes money, but it wasn't a shift like now we have money, let's right. do something. One of our prime goals of the company, and one of Michael's values he puts in the company, is frugality, and then spend what you need, but not more. Don't
right.
go do that. Don't be extravagant. Mm-hmm. Really, for us, it's just we have a lot of demand coming. We're growing very quickly. We have our own self-performed work on some of our projects where we're doing that. And in a lot of cases, we're using subs. And some subs are absolutely our partner. And they're like, hey, they see the vision. This is great for them because we take on so much of the work. They actually just get to put the labor on job site and make good profit.
Sure.
And yeah. reliable schedule and all those things, right? So yeah. it really changes things quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no – I mean, there was a high five for a minute, but man, we got a lot to do.
Right.
And I passionately love that answer because – people get jaded about the dollars. Like, if in my philosophy, and if you, one of my mentors, Nick May, who's, he was my number one and my number 100th, and we turned the tables on the art of construction. And his thing is, always take massive action and always be marketing. And, you know, we just had Lila Gonzalez on the Art of Construction, and she said it's never the dollars and the budget of why a project or a business comes to fruition. It's because of the passion and the desire to really go make that happen. And Tribe, listen to that. A company like this, that your desire and your passion hasn't changed from the 31st employee to now believing in your desire and passion to where now you have more tools to better get the word out, right?
Right.
So that's important stuff for us to recognize that, you know, when I went out of college, it was, you know, all about going climbing the corporate ladder for dollars. And it's not about the dollars if you're truly living the art of construction. And the art is always what comes first. And technology is what's in the middle of everything. So I love your conversation and where you guys are going with this company. We'd love to have you guys back and continue the conversation, because when you talk about system build lifestyle, boy, we see you guys as the leaders, and we're really proud of what you're doing out there. So if there's one thing for our tribe to listen and grow their business and where they want to take their business to be and part of Katerra, what's that one thing you want to leave our audience with today, Mike?
This would be my personal opinion, right, is I think that we're going to knock down in process a lot of the roadblocks of how projects can get built with a different mindset. I don't see us as the only one adopting these kind of processes. I mean, that wouldn't be right. But just in the way supply chain can be managed, that contractors can take advantage of that. And this industry is bigger than any one entity could ever do.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, it's the biggest industry in the world.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of benefits that if someone can figure out a couple tricks to get a point here, a point there, there is a lot going on, and everyone knows that. They're struggling to find people right now. So what I would say is there's things that we could do for you on the material side for sure. And we do have, like I said, we're already working with other general contractors. And that this is intended to be a helpful add to everybody eventually. We have to do it first and get good at it, right? So we're early in our process, but it's a potential add to the system that you'll have another tool to choose in how you want to run your projects. And this could be this kind of tool that you could use. That's what I got to say.
Awesome. Great job, Mike, telling your story. Awesome stuff, and keep it up.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Hey, Tribe, I hope that was some great information of the only constant is change, and what a cool company that is coming in for positive change and growth to bring technology and so many amazing resources to have more fun and make more system build lifestyle projects come together. What do you say, Audrey?
Another great key component is Katerra is looking to be a partner. They're looking to engage with other general contractors. So let's keep that in mind. It's about growing in this business of construction and system build lifestyles.
And it's all about partnerships, and we're honored to be a voice for the Katerra movement here on System Build Lifestyle. Look forward to much more of conversation with Katerra. You guys rock. Keep crushing it.
Love it.